You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is where Wisconsin wakes up. It's Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson. Here are your hosts, Brian and Jamie.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. It is 6 minutes after six. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. We'd love to hear from you today. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Remember, if you're calling in, be nice to Parker, because if you're nice to him, you get to us. If you're not nice to him, well, guess what? Click, you're gone. Bye-bye. How is everybody this morning? We all good?
We're here. It's Wednesday. Yeah, like Wednesday. A couple more days until a long weekend, at least for some people. So I guess that's good. The sun is shining.
Yeah, this is the first, the fact that we are not going to be here Monday.
No.
But we have special treats planned for you, so fear not.
We do.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to it, I guess, trying to figure out what to do. And I'll enjoy it more when Sunday comes and I don't go, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we don't have to work on the show right now.
I know.
And
we're creatures of habit, right? And so you get into this routine of, okay, at this time, around this time, I'm going to do this. And then that time comes and you're like, huh, I'm sitting here, hopefully, with an adult beverage in hand, enjoying some weather, maybe some baseball, whatever your
exactly.
Monday plans are or Sunday plans are, and you get to kind of relax. And then, of course, Monday morning comes, and we get to sleep in just for a little bit.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Doing this show, my sleeping in, the latest I'm finding I sleep, even if I don't set an alarm, is like 7:45, 8 o'clock.
Which
is late for normal, you know, yes. That's still 3 hours later than normal.
Here's the thing, because if you are somebody who gets up really early, you know this, right? When you're in that sort of mindset and your alarm goes off every day before the sun rises, you know how hard it is to get off of that routine, right?
Yes.
And then to get back onto that routine after you haven't been on it for a few days. So when I am usually off or I'm on vacation, it drives my husband nuts because I still usually get up around 6:30, because that is about 2 hours past when I would normally get up. But if I go any later than that, then to try to get back on schedule, it's just not happening.
You do get more done, though. I'm like, even on the days
yes.
when we're off or on the weekends, and I do get up earlier, and it's taken me all my life to figure this out, I guess. You get like Sunday, I had so much done before 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
It was insane.
Yeah.
All my, like all the laundry, all everything was done for the day. I was like, oh man, this is great.
It's crazy.
But I also came from an entire career that was based around being up late at night.
Yeah.
You know, stand-ups don't really work early in the morning.
No, not a lot of people want to go see a stand-up show at 7 a.m., it turns out.
So, thank goodness. But, I was always really a night person.
Yeah.
And there's still that part of me that wants to stay up really late. And now I go, even like Friday nights, because our weekend starts earlier because we're done early on Friday. So we have the Friday, Saturday, and part of Sunday before we're working again. And I'm like, ooh, Friday night, yeah, I'm going to stay up. I'm going to go out, maybe come back. We're going to watch a movie.
That's like an age thing, though, I think, right? Because
and also getting up at 4 o'clock.
That too. Because I live with a house of night people. Like, my husband was always a night person. Both of my boys growing up were night people. They still are. There's lots of times when Dexter, who is 19, will be going to bed about the time I'm starting to get up. Because it's just, I mean, that's how he is. And his older brother is the same way. So when Max started college a couple years ago, he had to really retrain himself so that he could get up and be at those 8 a.m. classes and things. Because I was like, no, you are going to school. You are not going to miss classes. You better be dead before you miss a
class. How many 8 o'clock classes did you take?
I took maybe two or three, actually, in my entire college career.
Yeah, no.
And Whitewater was really nice because it's a suitcase college. They know that you're trying to get out of Dodge. pretty quickly. So they make it very easy to not have classes on Friday. I think I had classes on Friday like two or three times in my entire 4 years.
Oh, nice. That's not bad. So, that's not bad.
Yeah.
I stayed away from Fridays. I would try to end my classes early.
Yeah.
But 8 o'clock class, I might have been like you. 4 years, I might have taken two at 8 o'clock.
But hey, freshman year, you better believe there was a Friday 8 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, of course.
Yeah, they gotcha.
That's
how
it works.
Pay the price.
I remember I had a class in college. I think it was my junior year. It was kind of like a research lab type class. And for one of my majors, and it started at 7 a.m. And I did night radio at that time. And so I would usually leave the station by the time we did the All Request show, wrapped up any, you know, production, anything like that. It was usually like 11:30, 12 o'clock. And then, of course, I still would sometimes have to go home and do homework. So I'm telling you that 7 a.m. research lab was rough. It was so rough some days. Some days it was fine, but there were a lot of days that I was like, oh my gosh. But it was one of those prerequisites you have to have in order to get that portion of your degree.
Gross.
So we muddled our way through.
Gross. Gross. Well put.
The whole situation sounds gross.
It was gross. It was really gross. Not every day, but a lot of days.
No, it was my life for a long time was, you know, working at night, going to bed maybe 4, and then people go, you didn't get up till 11 or 12? I go, yeah, I didn't go to bed till 4 or 4:30.
Right. That's like 7 and 8 hours of sleep if you do your math.
Yeah, I'm going to bed when you get up. That's how, my life is upside down. But everybody who works shift work knows how that is, and you try to get – when I was doing overnights at in Chicago, there was a reporter who was always on the mornings. He started at 6 or whatever. And – on Saturday night / Sunday morning, he would call the show at like 2 and 3 in the morning. I'm like, what are you doing up?
No, go to
He's
bed.
Like, I have to get up. I have to every day I get up at the same time so I don't fall out of that schedule.
Yeah.
So even my days off, I'm getting up at 2. And I was like, dude.
That's a hard way to live, which is why, like I said, I try not to vary the schedule too much. But to sleep in to 6:30, that's a luxury, right? That feels like a vacation for me because of how early my schedule has always been doing morning radio. So,
everybody's got to.
It's a thing.
Everybody's got.
We all got weird
things
schedules.
To do. We all got to do things and get up and move and blah.
Right?
Blah, blah.
I know. It's like adulting. Adulting is hard.
When I started.
All right. Can I? go ahead, Parker. And then I want to get back to that term that Jamie just
adulting,
used.
Huh? When I started, I couldn't sleep in on the weekends. Like, I was getting headaches if I tried to sleep in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it threw
sometimes
off my
I
sleep
feel
schedule
worse.
So much.
If I sleep late, much later than 6:30, I'll wake up and I just feel awful.
Yeah, I have to be
up by
8
o'clock.
This is
where I break parties with you guys. I can, if given the opportunity. Like, I do wake up on my own, but I would still much rather keep sleeping. But then I feel bad. Like,
because
the dogs are getting up, and
you hear them start to rustle. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh, do I make Debbie get up and take care of them? Because
then you need to do the adulting.
Adulting is not a word. I hate when a noun is made into a verb. You are just being an adult. You are just doing adult things. I hate, this is one of my language pet peeves. When we take a noun and we try to turn it into a verb and make it, we're brunching, we're adulting. No, you're not. Stop talking. Stop talking like you're trying to, hi guys, is everybody sick of adulting? Shut up. You're not an influencer. That's not a word. Just stop.
It's
stop.
The only one I ever turn, because I'm the same way.
I know, but I'm not singling you out.
I know. It's the only one I ever do because sometimes, I don't know, sometimes it feels like being an adult is really hard. And so I
it
feel
is.
It, so
yes,
I, feel
I don't
like,
disagree.
I feel like it sometimes, there is no other way to explain it, but you're just adulting because sometimes it is just really hard and life sucks sometimes. We've all been there. There's always things. People always deal with stuff. So
yes, everybody's got, and it is hard. That's not my argument. I am a very I'm persnickety when it comes to grammar and language. I do not enjoy.
I understand.
You know, the kids making up words all the time, and I know I probably did when I was a youth, and then people adopted it. It always bothers me. Like that's why I always call out when I try to use like a young quote unquote word. I always, you know, say to Parker, "Is that how they use it?" Or I'll say what the kids say, because I know old people trying to sound young is dumb. I don't care who you are. But like if you do it ironically and call it out, so like when I do that, I know I sound dumb trying to use these words. So I call it out. But then there's people who use them without any irony.
And don't they think, realize, you know, how dumb they sound.
Right. It's like you're 58. Stop.
Yeah.
Or you're 67. You know, my mother-in-law, rest her soul, was not a fun human being. And she would always try to use the word cool. And now everybody uses the word cool.
Sure.
But coming from her, it just sounded wrong because, she was not, and two, she didn't think anything was cool. But she would just like use it as kind of a dismissive word. And I'm like, oh, come on. You get to a certain age, just use
just
English.
Don't. Just
and don't.
Don't
make up words. And or just be self-aware enough to say, I'm going to use this word. Like, what am I going to say? Something is fire, unless I'm talking to Parker or, you know, doing it ironically. Or I'm going to say sus. I don't say sus unless I'm on the show making a point to make Parker laugh. That's why I use those goofy young kid words, because I know it sounds dumb for me. I use them correctly, but it still makes me seem, it's like, come on, old man, cut it out.
If you were to unironically drop like Riz or Skibbity on me, I'm out.
Oh,
I'm out, Brian.
I would be out of myself. Now, ironically, or for comedic purposes, I would use all of those terms.
Yes.
Yes.
But there's a difference. And, you know, I don't excuse myself because I'm aware enough to know that I'm not trying to be, hey, maybe I could fool people into thinking I'm 18 again. Hey, check me out.
I'm never going to fool anybody that I'm 18 again.
No.
And I'm the same way because I do have two kids who are right around Parker's age. One's the same age, one's a little bit younger. So I do the same thing. I'll use the same term. And I do it in if I think that they're not paying attention to what I'm saying, right? Like I'll drop one of those terms and then I know if they're actually paying attention, because if they are, they'll look at me and they'll be like, seriously, what did you just say? Or my 19-year-old will look at me and be like, he's the most deadpan human being I've ever met in my life. He's got this super deep voice, and he'll look at me and he'll be like, you are objectively not cool right now.
Yeah, and I'll do the same thing with Molly sometimes, where I'll drop one of those and she'll just look at me and inside I'm leaping with joy.
Right?
But outside, I try to stay deadpan.
It's my way of making sure that my children are absorbing every amazing piece of advice I have ever going to drop on them.
Hold on. Parker, do we have a self-important alert that we should put
if I,
every word, every morsel that comes out of Jamie's mouth is pure
wisdom. If I actually thought it
was
that important, I would not make it sound self-important, and I would not make sure that my, you know, to just start dropping teen terms on my kids.
No, we are teasing. Oh, boy. Hey, are you more or less religious than you used to be? That's a question for you. It's a question for us. It's a question for everybody. A new poll comes out, and this is especially true of people Parker's age. So we'll figure it out. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak.
It's 6:19. I'm Jamie Martinson. You are listening to the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Want to join in on the conversation? Call or text 855-75-CIVIC. Now back to Brian and Jamie.
It's 6:22 right now. Hopefully you are having a great start to your Wednesday. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Civic Media Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Good morning. Senator Tammy Baldwin joins us at 7:35, so you may want to be sticking around for that. She has a new bill coming out that will help you if you love to watch sports. We talked to her about that and some other things. So Tammy Baldwin at 7:35 this morning. And right now, are you more or less religious than you used to be? 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842. And Jamie, you know, I'm always trying to stay in touch with the youth of America.
I want to
remain relevant and hip and, you know, all those other things that I really don't care about at all. But there's a new Gallup poll, and it's about people Parker's age. And so this is why I was drawn to this story, because this Gallup poll shows more young men in the U.S. say religion is very important in their lives compared to young women. It's the first time young men have surpassed young women on this measure of religiosity. Yeah, going back 25 years. So the latest data shows 42% of men in the U.S. aged 18 to 29, which is right where Parker is. He's in that age range. Said religion is very important to them. That is a notable increase from 28% in 2023. Over the same time, young women's attachment to religion has remained at about 30%. Now, Parker, I'm not asking you for personal things, but are you seeing this as a guy in that age range? Are your friends, are you seeing more religious conviction, more religious involvement than you did before? Not you, and you can answer for yourself if you want, but I'm just saying in general.
No, I've never been religious hardly at all. We like celebrate Christian holidays, but never in a religious way, I guess is probably the best way to put it. As far as like around me, my friend group for the most part does not. I think I have a couple of maybe two or three friends that are like really religious. But it, as a whole, like on the campus of Whitewater, there was one, I believe Crew was the name of it, was a Catholic group on campus. And a friend of mine was like in their leadership team, and they were seeing massive growth in numbers.
Really?
And then there was another one that was founded. I don't remember if that was Catholic specifically or if it was non-denominational. But it was also was created, I think, my junior year, and it grew massively as well. So there's a massive uptick on college campuses and that stuff, yeah.
We did see this, though, during the 2024 election, right? Because what helped propel Donald Trump back to office was young men in this age group because of the conversations around masculinity, right? I remember reading.
Yeah, but how was that religious based, or was that kind of just alpha? Males are being put upon. White men are being overlooked.
A lot of it was religion based because of the fact that they were leaning back into those roots of the more biblical. Men should be the lead, right? And I remember
like the trad wife kind of thing.
Yes, okay. Right. And I remember reading about this and talking to young men, because obviously my older son is the same age as Parker. So he's got friends who very much fall into this pattern, or did, because my kiddo does not think like that. So their differences and their viewpoints just got to be too much after a while. But even sometimes when I hear him talk with his friends now, when they're listening, if there's an influencer or somebody on social media that they follow around the same age, you hear this type of conversation among those online influencers, especially if they're young white males. And I find it fascinating. Other than that, I can't really speak to it. But, you know, it's weird because as young women have seen their rights kind of start to erode over the last few years, weirdly, they're not pushing towards religion quite as much.
No, they're not. And it is most of the growth, to your point, Jamie, about the last election, most of the growth in that group is young Republican men and women compared to Democratic men and women. The percentage of young Republican men who attend church, synagogue, mosque, or temple at least weekly has been rising since 2019. Democratic men's attendance has largely fallen.
Yeah.
And I do agree that this whole white Christian national thing that Trump and his cronies have wrapped themselves in is pulling it. And I think there's that they're preying on these young, and I do believe that they're preying on these young men, because in your 20s, to make that jump to suddenly being religious, it's because somebody is giving you some other message, and they're telling these young men that the world is against them because they're men. Everybody is getting things that they aren't, and God and country will save you. And part of their part of the patriotism, this fake patriotism that they espouse, is wrapped in
it's an affirmation.
Christianity as well.
It becomes almost like an affirmation, right? Because it becomes a place where they feel like their ideas like responsibility, leadership, and family are then encouraged and not questioned, right? So it makes them... I don't want to speak for them, but for the examples that I've seen personally with my kids' friends, it almost became like they didn't have to worry as much about who they were, what they could say, and they just kind of were like, oh, I found my people.
I was going to say, there's something to be said about the community that brings.
Yes.
I think that is probably the biggest thing, and especially for that demographic of going to college, and it's a more diverse place, and you're finding new things.
New ideas
scary.
Are
That's,
hard. Mm-hmm. They can
new
be
ideas
for
are
some
hard.
People. Yeah.
And there is a comfort. I mean, when I used to go to church, there were times when I found comfort just in being there for that hour. It was nice. And if you're scared or you're susceptible to all these messages, then it's an easy place. And I don't know. I guess I'm around women who would not fall into that trad wife category. So I'm like, dudes, that might not be the way to go if you ever want to have a partner. But that's just me. All right, another big question. Do you think the Supreme Court's a partisan body? Well, one of the justices is afraid of that. So we'll get to that and so much more. This is Daybreak. I'm Brian. She's Jamie. This is the Civic Media Network.
Local voices, statewide impact. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
6:35 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. If you're in Madison listening on WMDX or in Eau Claire listening on 93.5 The Tap, or even in Wisconsin Rapids this morning listening on WFHR, we're glad that you decided to join us. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning, Wisconsin. I'm Brian Noonan. Always a pleasure to be with you. Do you think the Supreme Court's a partisan body at this point? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'll start the answer, round robin. I'm going to say yes, unfortunately. I do believe that this, while occasionally the Supreme Court will not side with the president, I believe more often than not they do, and that is a result of him handpicking these particular justices, and a move in this country toward, as we were just talking to, a more right-wing, religious-based way of government. And it scares me. It frustrates me. Mm-hmm. And so my answer is yes. Jamie, before we get into the details, your answer?
Yes. I mean, we've seen time and time again this particular court rule in favor of the president. Now, once in a while, they will follow the law. They'll give you a win. And it gives you like this false sense of hope for a minute, right? Maybe they are getting it. Maybe they will do the right thing. And what I've seen over the past few years with this particular court is when they do that, it almost feels like they're setting us up for a bigger loss, right down the road. And that's where that partisanship comes in. And you're right. They are, a lot of these justices are handpicked by Donald Trump, or the ones,
and the ones
that
are a lot of,
yes,
they were hard. There were some hardcores beforehand.
Yes.
You got Alito, you got,
Clarence Thomas. Yeah.
You've got those guys were entrenched, which is a lifetime appointments is another conversation. The shadow docket thing is a whole different conversation. But that is part of the problem, because the Supreme Court is able to pick and choose things that they can just kick down the road a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They can, and we saw it with the Mef Prestone just in the last couple weeks. So it's an issue that we have to look at. Well, if you think like Jamie and I do, and you're thinking, yes, the Supreme Court definitely a political body now, or a partisan body now, you're not alone. one of the Supreme Court justices, Ketanji Brown Jackson, feels the same way. Yesterday, she put out a little statement, and she amplified her concerns about a rare extra step the court took after its blockbuster decision limiting the Voting Rights Act, saying she fears the appearance of partisanship. The justices this month allowed its April 29th decision to take effect early, boosting the chances that Republicans could impose a new congressional map in Louisiana before the November elections. She said, "My view was it would be a more neutral way to handle the matter, to just stick with the rule that we always apply in situations like this." She was at a legal conference when she said this. The court, she said, has to be really, really careful in this environment when we're dealing with issues that have a political overlay. It's so important for the public to perceive us as a neutral, nonpartisan, as neutral and unpartisan. So that was Ketanji Brown Jackson, one of the Supreme Court justices.
But that's just it. They don't care if they're nonpartisan or neutral, right? This president doesn't care if the court is nonpartisan or neutral because he sees them as his court. He sees cases that go in front of them not as something that needs to follow the Constitution or as the law of the land, as we like to say. He sees it as a ruling directly affecting what he can or cannot do. He takes it as a slight and then will go to social media to call those justices out, name one by one, and list them, right, for decisions that they might be making following the Constitution of the United States, which really tells you what this president thinks of the Constitution of the United States.
And to be fair, we're not all of us are well-versed in the law. We expect our Supreme Court justices to be very, very well-versed in the law. So there are things, and I've said this for years and years, there's things in the law that don't make common sense. And sometimes the Supreme Court will rule on those, and we will all shake our heads and say, that doesn't make any sense. But then they do something like going all the way back to the, you know, overturning Roe and right. all of these. And it's, you can't help but think when there has been nothing but talk about how this, the Supreme Court has been the long game of the Republicans, making sure they got people in to make sure that they can uphold whatever they want. Back to what you're saying. And so when Justice Brown Jackson was talking about doing it too quickly, normally the rule is that the court holds on to decisions for 32 yes. days after they're reached. And that allows time for the losing side to request another hearing. Now, the justices can shorten that. It doesn't usually happen when the losing side objects as when the case is, you know, like right. in the Voting Rights Act. They said, hey, stop. You don't. Why are you moving quickly like this? Give us time to come back. And they said no, which I don't care who you are. It's hard to then see that as a nonpartisan neutral act.
Right.
You have this rule. What's the hurry? Except the hurry is that the Republicans want their new maps. So
they want to disrupt the November election, and you only have so much time to do that. They see the polling. They see the wave of across the nation. They want to disrupt as much as they yeah. absolutely can, and they only have so much time to do so. And if you
and the court help them,
that's right, because the court needs to do a favor in this administration. Not that I think that's how the court should actually be, because it's not how it works in this country. That's how it works under this administration. We've got John chiming in over on our YouTube chat this morning. He says that they are only hyper-partisan, but a corrupt arm of the most illegal and corrupt administration in history. Going back to the term limits, as we've talked about that before on the show. Senators, congresspeople, justices on the Supreme Court, they all need term limits. John says 10-year term limits at the most is best for the Supreme Court of the United States. We have 10-year term limits for our Supreme Court justices here in Wisconsin, right? Yes. I mean, they have limits. Most states' Supreme Court justices actually have limits, but we can't do that at the national level, which
we should. I agree. We 100% have to. And I'm trying to figure out then how we do. I don't want to vote. Yeah. I don't want to have votes for national elections for the Supreme Court like we do here.
No.
But I also don't like this straight up presidential appointment, because right. then if you're on a run where you get either side, and you know, Of course, I would like Democratic presidents picking the Supreme sure. Court justices. That would be lovely. But I have to think of the other portion of the country.
Right.
Sure, you don't want that either. If you're on a run where you get two, you know, two or three Republican presidents in a row, God forbid, and then you've got some elderly justices who either retire or they pass away
right.
or whatever, then the court is set. Now, is the answer stacking the court and then shuffling those terms, grandfathering in where like
right.
the justices who have been on for a long time, all right, we're going to give you five more years. The ones who are coming on, it's going to be
right.
10-year terms.
Right.
And we're going to, but then 10-year, you're going to get a whole new, at first you're going to, you're all, well, once you start that from zero, you're going to have a new court every 10
right.
years. Is that good? And how do we get those justices?
I personally think it is. I don't know how this election process should go, right? I don't know if that's an independent commission that is appointed by President, Congress. I'm not sure. However, I think as you move through, when you look at the constituents of this country, things are constantly shifting, right? People change. The makeup of the country changes. And so to get new people on the court that actually represent. I mean, when we got Justice Brown, that was a monumentous occasion,
oh, yeah.
right? So
yeah,
you
yeah.
think about that because she represents a portion of the country that wasn't represented at one time or wasn't represented especially on the courts. So I think when we can start representing the country more fairly, the courts actually work more accordingly for the people. We've got Gary over on the text line listening on WMDX this morning. He says that the president uses the Supreme Court to get a stamp of approval for his policies. You can't disagree with that. We also have Thomas over on our Facebook chat. Now, I can't say this all of this one out loud, but he says they are as corrupt as, well, it's the poop emoji. So if you want to chime in this morning, 1-855.
Thomas is not far off. I am in. We're going to get into some of it today and some
yes.
of it tomorrow, the blatant corruption that
yes.
is going on and the fact that this administration is no better. And I hate to use the term, but don't think of movies. Think of the real world. Organized crime.
Yeah.
And I don't use that term lightly. I don't throw it around. But the things that they have extorted from the DOJ, which they have set up with their own personal lawyer.
Right.
I can't disagree with Tom. Now, I was going to suggest, kind of piggybacking off what you said, a bipartisan committee that
mm-hmm.
is, and that's what they do. And it maybe it's not, not elected officials.
Right.
Maybe it's chosen and it's legal scholars.
Right.
And they spend, that's their job, is to start putting together a Supreme Court farm system. And then when it comes to the point, this nonpartisan group puts forth the next panel of Supreme Court
right.
justices. And then Senate and Congress can go through their approval thing. But we see what a joke that is. Because
yeah.
we saw what happened during Brett Kavanaugh. We see what happens all the time. We remember back when they wouldn't bring up Obama's,
right.
when
they
Merrick Garland was
him.
Not
yeah.
brought in. Yeah.
yeah.
So Congress could still screw the pooch and take a good system and ruin it. But I think if we don't leave it up to a political party's leader
right.
to pick the Supreme Court justices, and we have legal scholars from both sides of the aisle to put together this roster. And okay, maybe you didn't make it this 10 years.
Right.
But, it's something,
a system like that just helps end that partisanship, right? Because that's the first thing everybody always says. Well, that's a so-and-so appointee judge. So?
Right.
Who cares? If they're following the Constitution and they're interpreting
well.
The law as it should, and they're legally sound-minded, then it shouldn't matter who appointed that particular judge, right? And I get it, because some judges, even though they do follow the Constitution, some are more conservative in their ruling, some are a little less conservative in their ruling. So I understand that, but it really shouldn't matter who those judges are appointed by. John chiming in over on YouTube this morning, he says, I think stagger the term somehow. I'd be fine with elections for the Supreme Court. It works for local judges. I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, but we don't know.
But we already vote too much, right? Like, we already vote.
No, it's not that we vote too much. It's we can't make an informed decision about
True.
on a national level about a Supreme Court justice. And, you know, before we end this, Ketanji Brown Jackson said that in her dissent on this voting rights expedition, she said that the court is giving way to power, and then that made Justice Samuel Alito very mad.
Of course.
He called that a groundless and utterly irresponsible charge. But yeah, I think here's the problem. Left to the people, we've gotten Donald Trump as president.
Yeah.
I don't want the people, and I'm one of the people. I don't think I'm smarter than anybody else. I don't want the people choosing the Supreme Court. I want legal minds.
And when I say vote too much, we already have a voter enthusiasm problem in this country.
Yes.
How are you going to get a Supreme Court justice?
Right, exactly. That's
what I say because
too much. I understand.
I wanted to clarify for our listeners.
There was an unusual duck rescue, and Jamie has a duck update. So, duck talk on Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan. This is the Civic Media Network. She's Jamie Martinson. Let's go.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
From Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, this is Wisconsin's Morning Conversation. Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
6:52 right now. Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We hope you are having a great start to your day. Going to be beautiful across good portions of Wisconsin. Sun shining right now in Madison, and we're going to see some cooler temperatures today as well before we start to warm things back up over your Memorial Day weekend. My name is Jamie Martinson.
Good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Glad you're here. We've been following the ducks nesting in front of Jamie's house for a while. So when I saw this story yesterday, of course, I thought of her. This coming out of Canal, Fulton, and Lawrence Township in Ohio. The fire department responded to what they called an unusual rescue. Firefighters and police officers worked together to rescue a family of about 11 ducklings stuck in a storm drain near a Pizza Hut. Because even ducks love a good Pizza Hut.
Of course.
The fire department said on social media that firefighters responded Sunday alongside Canal Fulton Police Department officers when the baby ducks were reported trapped near the Pizza Hut.
Aww.
The responders ended up reuniting about 11 ducklings with their mother, who watched the rescue from nearby. On social media said, great teamwork by everyone involved and a happy ending for some very small residents of our community. So, of course, a feel-good duck story.
Yes, I love that.
And then you sent us some pictures.
I did. So we were talking yesterday. You all had asked me about the duck that decided to build her nest in our bush. And I figured when we were out on our travels across the country last week, literally across the country, that she would probably not be there when we got back. And I was correct in my assumption. She had seven eggs in there. All of the eggs were completely empty. And yesterday you had asked me, you know, if there was an area nearby where she might be. And I knew of a couple areas about a block or less from our house. So last night I was walking Aspen and I said to Aspen, and yes, I did have this conversation with my dog. I said to her, I said, what do you think, girl? Should we go find the duckies? Well, of course, she was excited. So we trotted off over to the one little pond and it was getting late. It was probably about 7:30, 8 o'clock. And so I was like, I don't know if they're going to be out there. It turns out we were watching the pond for a few minutes. Now, there's several in our area, and there's a couple that are mostly ducks, and then one across this little walk bridge is mostly the geese, which I think is hilarious that they separate themselves like that.
They come from the long side of the tracks?
Yes.
Or wrong side of the tracks?
It is very weird. I haven't understood it since we moved into the neighborhood, but we were standing there. We were watching the ducks. Aspen was infatuated with watching them walk around on the shore. And out of the weeds along the edge, I saw a little tiny fuzzy head pop out. And then there was another fuzzy head that followed into the water. And then I heard the peeping. And I wasn't able to get a photo of the other five that were that had themselves in the grass. Dad was standing very close by them, keeping an eye on them in the grass. And Mom was swimming behind the other two in the water. But they did make their way to the water. They're doing great. I was very excited to see all seven with mom and dad on the pond, though, last night. So made me excited.
A happy ending.
It was. A happy little family.
Mark from Prairie du Sac has a duck story. He called 855-75-CIVIC. You can, too. Hi, Mark. Good morning.
Hi. Yeah, this is some years ago, I think back in the 80s. I was coming back from fishing on Lake Minota there and crossing across these tracks. They kind of cut across the bay, and I'm looking down the track, and I see this shape coming at me, just kind of oozing down the thing. It was at dusk. I go, what the heck's that? I get up closer, and here it was a mother hen duck with her ducklings all around her. Well, I get up closer to her. She hops over the rail and goes down to the lake, and the little ducklings can't get over the rail.
Oh.
So I'm scooping up the little ducklings and putting them in this and get to their mother. And it got to the last one, and they're peeping like crazy, and she's quacking away. And the last one, we kind of had a difficult time snagging him finally. She flies up, whacks me upside the head with her wing. and then I finally get the other little duckling and goes down there, and they just plastered them. They got down, all down the lake, and they just plastered up her themselves up against her sides, and they went swimming off into the bay there. But I mean,
sure, because some crazy guy had been grabbing at them. They were nervous.
And they just could not get over that rail, and it was just you know, and that it was just having that little fluff ball in my hand was. Hands are kind of just kind of neat.
Yeah. No, that's awesome.
Well, you've done good, Mark.
Thank
great
you,
story.
Mark. That's a
Thank
great
you
story.
For sharing.
Yep.
That's just it. They are so tiny, right? I was watching them paddle through the water last night, and their tiny little web feet are basically like two of my fingers to get. I mean, they're just itty bitty. It's amazing
now, how
they
is
survive.
How was the dog reacting to dog?
She is actually very good. She loves to watch things. She would sit and she'd watch, and then she'd get bored because, well, we weren't moving.
Yeah.
And then she'd sniff the grass in front of it a little bit. Now, we were ways from the pond, and obviously I wanted to keep them, let them have their space. And plus they're birds, so we all know that I'm not getting that close anyway. But it was just good, and I was so glad to see that all seven of them made it from the nest, because it's a good probably block walk for mama to get all seven of them from where we live over to the pond. So kudos to mama for doing good and making sure that they're all safe over there, because they are itty bitty little things right now. Just tiny.
It's so funny to watch how different animals treat their young, and watch the but ducks are hilarious with their ducklings.
Yes.
And they all group together and they waddle in this little pack, and there they go.
And I love to watch
them
when mom
and had a happy ending.
Yes, and I love to watch ducks when mom and dad are both there, because mom or dad take front, mom or dad the other one takes the back, and boy, those baby ducklings don't get out of line at all.
See, we need to learn a little from ducklings.
Right?
That's why I laugh when, if you've ever seen those preschools when they go on field trips and they have the rope with the handles.
It's like ducklings.
It is like ducklings.
Yes.
Because there's a teacher up front. All the kids are holding onto the rope, walking in a line.
Yes.
And then you've got another duck in the back making sure the line keeps moving. And it is the funniest thing.
Yes.
Well, now that we've had our laugh for the day, it's time to get into stuff you need to know, and there may or may not be laughs. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak.
I'm Jamie Martinson. It is 6:59 right now. Thank you for listening to the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.